And this is the State Capitol Report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, April the 2nd. Lots of state political news to cover for you this hour, and we will welcome your input, your questions, your reactions to all of it at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Well, among other things, it's official. The recall election is on. The Government Accountability Board did set the dates on Friday. And other big news, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett has joined the field of Democratic challengers who want to unseat Governor Scott Walker. We have not one, but two of Wisconsin Public Radio's great reporters with us for this first half of our State Capitol Report. As always, our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, joins us. He's with us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Morning.
And we also have with us Chuck Kornbach, our Wisconsin Public Radio reporter based in Milwaukee, who's been covering a lot of the candidates, including the presidential candidates who are coming to town. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning.
Well, let's start first with the GAB certifying the recalls on Friday, Sean. It's official, huh?
It is official. They certified a little over 900,000 signatures in the recall against Governor Walker. That's far more than the 540,000 needed to force an election. Governor Walker's campaign made a decision not to challenge any signatures. But in the end, a high number, and you look at what the Government Accountability Board knocked off in terms of fictional names or duplicate names. They ended up finding 4 fictional names out of those 900,000 and about 4,000 duplicates. That is people who signed, at least twice. So the petition as they presented it, clean and really it was a very, for all the emotions surrounding this recall, a very mundane, routine, and quick meeting of the Government Accountability Board and a unanimous vote by the board that the petitions had what it take to force an election, not only in the case of the governor, but in the case of Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish and 4 Republican state senators.
So we will. There will be primaries when and the general is when?
Primary on May 8th and the general on June 5th. There would be general elections on May 8th if there were no primaries, but it looks like that we will have primaries in all of these contests.
The Republicans say they will field fake Democrats to make sure there are primaries.
Correct. In the state Senate recalls, because they say without doing that, they end up running a general election on those days when you've got potentially a high turnout Democratic primary for governor. And Republicans ran fake Democrats in last year's state Senate recalls as well, the ones targeting Republicans to give them more time to prepare. So it's a step they're taking again.
And we learned also on Friday was a big news day, that Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett is indeed going to be a candidate, a Democratic challenger. And Chuck, you were there for that announcement?
Well, there was no in-person real announcement. There was an email that came out around 4:30 Friday afternoon that Barrett was in, that he had, after much serious deliberation and reflection, decided to be a candidate in the Democratic primary.
Mm-hmm. And why did he decide to do that?
Well, it says he loves the state, and he lost to Scott Walker only in a Tea Party wave in 2010. And he thinks he's back and the best candidate to be in. He says Walker ended 50 years of labor, peace, and worker protection, something he never said he'd do during a campaign. 2010, Barrett says, "I know because I was there." And Barrett promises to fight to restore collective bargaining rights. Says it's the best thing to do in Wisconsin, right thing to do. And off went Barrett campaigning then, some over the weekend, Wausau, Milwaukee, Racine. Barrett, of course, has not gotten a lot of union support so far. Falk has. But in Racine, we asked Barrett about his promise to fight to restore the collective bargaining. He said he'd support whatever appropriate vehicle there is to do that.
So it may be the budget, it may be a special session, it may be a freestanding bill, and I don't want to tie my hands to any specific path because there are many paths to get to the same goal, but my goal is to restore collective bargaining rights.
And he adds that, of course, that Kathleen Falk, Kathleen Vinehout, and Doug LaFollette, the other three candidates, apparently have the same goal.
Yeah, well, Sean, what does Kathleen Falk have to say about all of this? You were covering that?
I covered her a couple times last week, and her basic pitch, because it's been known that the mayor was thinking about this for a while now, and her basic pitch through all of this has been, you know, we're all friends, we can handle primary if it happens, but if there is a primary, she says, you know, Democratic primary voters will look to her partly because of who's endorsing her.
My campaign has earned the endorsement of every single organization that has endorsed on the Democratic side, from Clean Wisconsin Action Fund to Emily's List to labor associations. That's the big tent that it takes to win.
So she's stressing not only the union endorsements, but the endorsements from environmental groups and from Emily's List, although it's those labor endorsements that are going to help her in terms of boots on the ground and money, you know, to fund campaign ads.
There is also another candidate, I think it was a Wednesday or Thursday, that Secretary of State Doug LaFollette says that he's also in.
Yeah, Doug LaFollette had been toying with the idea of a run for a while, and on Wednesday he made it official in an announcement in the state capitol rotunda. He sort of alluded to his famous last name, LaFollette. He is a distant relative of Fighting Bob LaFollette, and, you know, said that he was considering changing his first name.
In this election, I considered changing my first name to David. I was expecting a David versus Goliath situation with Mr. Walker and his millions of out-of-state money. But now I find I face two Goliaths.
Two Goliaths, his reference was towards the union support for Kathleen Falk and the fact that she has a third-party group running, you know, ads on her behalf. So right out of the gate, Doug LaFollette attacking one of the his Democratic primary opponents there.
Mm. Well, I also saw that Tom Barrett, Chuck, I don't know if you covered this one, where he's asking for all the Democratic candidates to play nice and to not attack each other.
Right. He talked about that yesterday in Racine as well. We don't have any sound of it, but he talked about the quote was something about not wanting to have a firing squad in a circle, aiming at each other, in other words, saving it for Scott Walker.
Yeah, speaking of Governor Walker, is he how's he reacting to this?
Well, he spoke anyway. He spoke Wednesday, Saturday night at the Waukesha County Republican dinner that I've attended. Never have quite seen the governor be that animated giving a speech, really that stirred up, doing much of anything public life, but sort of projected that unflappable image. But on Saturday night, there he was saying, bring on the challenge.
You see, I look forward to this opportunity. I relish this. This, for me and for Becky and for the senators, is a chance for us to go across this state and to tell one of the most powerfully positive messages in all the country. We're turning things around.
Oh, he does sound like he's relishing this.
He did, and well, he was spurred on, I think, because the Republican National Committee head, Reince Priebus, was there of Kenosha, and of course, Washington, D.C. now. He pledged full RNC support for Walker. I think we heard over the weekend that Romney would help the Walker campaign. In Waukesha, they auctioned off a couple of photo books about the state capitol protests and made about $5,000 right there for Walker. GOP activists seemed fired up for the governor.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have lots of other news, including a lot of the GOP presidential primary news to cover as well. But I wanted to, before we get to that, Sean, another huge news story was revealed on Friday afternoon, dealing with parts of Act 10, the collective bargaining law, being tossed out.
Yeah, the law that started all this, the collective bargaining law, a federal court hearing a lawsuit in that case, tossed out a couple pieces of the law and said they were unconstitutional. The court said that unions should be allowed to, or that employers should be allowed to have employees deduct union dues from their paychecks. So a state or local government, under Act 10, under the collective bargaining bill, there was an outright ban on that. This federal court's decision lifts that ban. The other thing that the federal court looked at is these annual recertification votes that unions have to take, and where they have to get 50% of all the members in their bargaining unit to vote yes to recertify, or else they basically lose bargaining power in the eye of the state. And it's a high threshold for them to meet, and it's why a number of the larger unions have decided, you know, not to even try to meet it. The court said that piece of the law is unconstitutional. So those were two of the big, you know, really roadblocks that made it hard for unions to even operate in this state. And so at least at this initial federal court level, those have been tossed. What the court did not throw out is, you know, a lot of the law that most people are more familiar with. I mean, collective bargaining rights are still limited under the law. The court did not, you know, go further as unions wanted it to. And so the elements of the law that require higher, you know, contributions for pensions, that prohibit bargaining over workplace conditions, things like that, those remain alive.
And the redistricting law was largely upheld. The courts are going to redraw the lines of those two districts in Milwaukee?
Yeah, given everything that happened Friday, it seems like a long time ago. But the court, another federal court, issued a decision that basically said, since the legislature won't act on redrawing assembly districts 8 and 9 so that they're constitutional, so that they meet the Voting Rights Act, so that they protect the voting rights of Latinos, we will redraw the maps. And so, you know, that's what Republicans were hoping for. These were Republican drawn maps, but the Senate is now split 16-16. So any new map was going to have to be bipartisan. The court said, because there's this deadlock, you know, this map will be taken care of in federal court, and it will be limited to assembly districts 8 and 9, meaning that you're not going to have big ripple effects in terms of, you know, the political impact of any new lines throughout the state.
We are talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and Chuck Kornbach, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter in Milwaukee, about state politics, talking about the latest news in the recall election. And we will also talk about all of the recent activity from the presidential candidates, the Republican presidential candidates, who are trying to woo Wisconsin voters. Tomorrow is the presidential primary in Wisconsin. We welcome your questions and your reactions. What do you think about Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett jumping into the field of Democratic challengers in the recall election? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today, looks like it'll be mostly sunny in southern Wisconsin, but mostly cloudy with a chance of rain in the north. Highs today in the 50s and 60s. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Thank you so much. Thanks to all who contributed during our spring membership drive that wrapped up on Friday. More than 7,000 listeners pledged. You donated more than $780,000 to fund Wisconsin Public Radio and the programs that you depend on. You also gave more than 46,000 meals to area food banks. So thanks so much for your support. This is our State Capitol Report, talking in this segment with our Wisconsin Public Radio reporters, Sean Johnson and Chuck Kornbach. And we have Fred in Wisconsin Rapids, who has a comment about the recall elections. Hi, Fred.
Hi, guys. I'm excited about Barrett entering the election. I've always been an admirer of his ever since he stepped in to help prevent that assault on the woman outside the state fair. I like him because he doesn't have all the union endorsements. It's one thing that the Republicans won't be able to pin on him that they have been able to try and do with Falk. I hope that Barrett and Falk don't tear into one another in the primary against one another that would diminish the chances of either, you know, winning in the actual recall election. And then finally, does any of the speakers wonder what Walker's agenda would be for Wisconsin if he in fact did survive the recall?
Lots there. Thank you very much, Fred. Chuck, do you have any comment on that?
Well, Walker didn't say too much Saturday night. He just said that he would, he's been trying to explain more what he had in mind to do, the mistake he made last year, not explaining what he was trying to accomplish. And I suppose if he was reelected, he would then explain more of what he plans to do, or along the way he would have to.
Mm-hmm. Sean, any comment? I mean, the governor has said things as though he wants to continue, you know, working for jobs and that sort of thing, huh?
Yeah. I mean, Fred mentioned that he wouldn't be able to pin the union support on Barrett, and that's one of the things that Barrett's supporters have said makes him a good choice for Democrats this time around. Although, you did get a sampling of what the governor's campaign might want to pin on Mayor Barrett in a web video they released last week. It seems like they're running against him being the mayor of Milwaukee, in a sense. You know, you remember a couple of years ago, there was a lot of talk of whether a Milwaukee politician could win a statewide office. And so happens that both the major candidates from Milwaukee, a Milwaukee mayor and Milwaukee County executive. And so that was a non-factor. Now it would appear that since the governor has moved on to another position, maybe they're going to run a little bit harder against that Milwaukee angle. We'll see if that is the case or whether it works.
Boy, we could talk about this for a long time, but we also have to update what's going on in the presidential primary, which is tomorrow in Wisconsin as well. And I know that both of you have been covering the candidates as they have come through Wisconsin. And let's start with Chuck. Who did you cover most recently?
Well, mainly Rick Santorum. He's been out campaigning in places like West Bend and Chilton and Fond du Lac and Sheboygan, and certainly in larger cities as well, but really making a focus. And it's an interesting, and I think it's, if I may give an opinion, a refreshing focus to get out and meet people in these smaller towns and communities, some conservative folks. He's getting out there and meeting and shaking hands and getting photos taken and so on. But, Romney is earning more endorsements from people like Ron Johnson and Jim Sensenbrenner and Paul Ryan. Yesterday, Senator McConnell of Kentucky suggested it's time to focus on beating President Obama. In West Bend, national press asked Santorum about all that pressure from the Republican establishment.
Yet, here we are. And we got a lot of folks seemingly getting very, very nervous 2 days before the Wisconsin primary. And I think the people of Wisconsin have shown one thing. They are not go-along, get-along folks. The Republicans in this state are going to stand up and fight for the principles they believe in, and they're going to stand behind people who are tough enough to make those things happen.
And I've also covered Newt Gingrich. He sounded very professorial at times, arguing with students at Marquette the other night, by the way. But there doesn't seem to be quite the passion, not too many cries of Newt that there was when he was sort of in full contract with America mode.
Yeah. And Sean, you covered Mitt Romney's recent appearance?
Yeah, Mitt Romney was in Middleton yesterday, talking to a few hundred supporters there. And he did not mention Rick Santorum's name during his remarks. Didn't mention him once, as to my ear. Spent his time talking about President Obama, and specifically saying that the president was going to be campaigning on turning the economy around, and that that's a message that he shouldn't get away with.
This president has not done the job he's trying to claim he's done. He did not cause the recession. But he did not cure the recession. He did not cause the kind of turnaround we wanted and we needed so desperately.
And, also this past week, he had a chance to see Ron Paul in Madison. And, in terms of the difference between the campaign rally yesterday with Mitt Romney and the Paul event, it was kind of night and day. I mean, the Mitt Romney event was sort of standard fare for a lot of these campaign appearances. It was at a hotel conference room. Press is all kind of roped off in one area. Supporters, all go in through one gate. The Ron Paul event was at the Memorial Union at the UW-Madison campus. And, you know, it was basically a night at the Union with beer flowing and students everywhere, a huge crowd. And the term gets overused, but, you know, Ron Paul really did get rock star treatment when he talked about, you know, what they needed to do to turn the country around.
People say, oh, to get over this, we have to sacrifice. If I return your liberty to you and give you the chance to work hard and keep what you earn, get the government out of your life, out of your wallet, out of your bedroom, and leave you alone, that's not a sacrifice.
So he actually had people chasing his motorcade on the way out of the Union. But that was his only stop in Wisconsin, only public stop in Wisconsin. And, you know, he's not, does not appear to be a contender in the polls.
Yeah, so almost out of time here for this segment. Any indication if Democrats are going to be voting in the Republican presidential primary, Sean?
I'll throw that to Chuck. How about that?
All right, good.
Well, they are providing mainly people to criticize Romney via candidate rapid response and telephone calls and so on. I wouldn't doubt if they'd like Santorum to get a lot of votes tomorrow.
Yeah. So, and we can. Democrats, anybody can vote in that primary tomorrow.
You don't have to declare a party to vote in a primary. You don't have to publicly declare, so it's an open primary.
And that's the what's on the ballot as well as various municipal posts,
right? Yeah. Including Milwaukee mayor.
Yeah, righto.
Yeah, there we go. And we just had a wake up call from a clerk, a county clerk in Wood County, who reminds us that the voter ID law is on hold right now. So as of right now, and maybe as of tomorrow, we do not have to show a photo ID going to the polls.
Right. Two Dane County court decisions still stand. It's in the Supreme Court's purview now.
All right. Well, Sean and Chuck, thank you both very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Chuck Kornbach and Sean Johnson. More after the news.